Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, we're going to be in the book of 1 Kings chapter 2. This is actually the third book in the Bible we'll be entering into through this series. We've looked at 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and now 1 Kings. After 7 weeks of walking with David through some of the highest mountaintops and some of the lowest valleys, this week we're bringing our sermon series on the life of David to a close. We didn't cover everything. The life of David, if we were to actually walk through the entire story of David, it would probably take us a year. And so we did it in 8 weeks. We picked out some of the events of David's life. But now as we come to the end of our sermon series and we come to the end of David's story, we're going to take some time this morning to look at something bigger than any single moment. Something bigger than any just a time or a place in his life. Today we're going to look at something that each and every one of us is building. Something that's going on in each and every one of our lives, whether we are aware of it or not. For some of us, it may be something we're keenly aware of. Something that at our place in life or at our time in life or maybe just the way our mind works, we're keenly aware of this. And for others, it may be something you've never even considered about your life or your story. Something bigger than any given moment. This week, we're going to talk about legacy. We're going to talk about specifically David's legacy. Because the final question of David's story, as we come to the conclusion of this tale, of this story, of the life of David, the final question is not, so was he a good king or not? The final question isn't, so did he accomplish enough? Did he do enough? Was he good enough? The final questions of David's life are not based around success or failure. Because David's story, it doesn't end with victory or failure. It doesn't end with success or falling apart. What we see is that it ends with grace. A grace that carries far beyond his lifetime. We see how David's legacy stretches way beyond David. Past his reign, past his family, past every success, past every failure, all the way to a manger and to a king whose throne will never end. So today, as we finish this series, we're going to ask some questions that the life of David forces us to ask. What does grace do with a broken life? What kind of legacy is even possible after failure? Because the legacy shows us that God doesn't just redeem moments. The legacy of David shows us that God does more than just take a moment and make it better. God redeems stories. He redeems families. He redeems futures. And he redeems legacies. And so when we turn to 1 Kings chapter 2, the story has shifted quite dramatically. We come to David, but it's not David the young shepherd boy anymore. It's not David the giant slayer anymore. It's not David the fugitive hiding in caves anymore. It's not David the newly crowned king learning how to lead. And it's not David who's allowed himself to drift away from God. We find David at the end of his life. His battles are behind him. And the man who lived through so much, victories, betrayals, failures and restorations, is realizing he's coming to the end of his life. And so as David sits on the side of his bed, he calls for his son Solomon. Solomon, who we talked about last week, as we walked through the story of David and Bathsheba and this journey into deeper and deeper and deeper sin and failure. We closed by talking about how even out of the worst moment, God was still faithful. And we read about Solomon being born and how God loved him. And as David is coming to the end of his life, he sits on the side of his bed and he calls for Solomon. The Solomon we talked about last week. The Solomon who we see is going to become the next king. That he's going to be taking over for his dad as king. And David calls for Solomon. It says this in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. When the time drew near for David to die, that's blunt, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. What we're going to see here is not a king speaking to his successor. This is a father speaking to his son. A man through lots of experience, good and bad, has learned what truly matters. So David calls for his son, and he says this to him. He says, "Be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him." David says, in other words, to his son, "Son, if you want to succeed where I succeeded, and if you want to avoid the places where I failed, keep your eyes on God. Follow him, and not on your own self, not on your own power, not on your own might, not on your own ability, not on your own success, not on your own strength, not on your own gifting. If you want to succeed where I succeeded, all the success I had was when I was following God. And if you want to avoid where I have failed, all the failures I had was when I stopped following God." David learned the hard way that success without obedience is fragile, strength without surrender is dangerous, and that gifting without character will always collapse. So he tells his son, walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands and his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. And then David adds a promise, but it's not his promise, it's God's. He says, do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live and they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. These words reveal something important. David, as he reflects on his life and he reflects on everything that is the sum total of what has made his life, he doesn't speak of himself and his legacy in terms of palaces or victories or achievements. He speaks of his legacy in terms of faithfulness, of faithfully following God and recognizing that the points in his life and in his story where he didn't were where he fell down. Because faithfulness is what lasts. Faithfulness is what shapes generations. And faithfulness is what's going to outlive us. And standing beside David's bed, his son Solomon, listening to these final words, he doesn't just receive a kingdom. He doesn't receive a throne. He doesn't just receive a crown. He doesn't just receive a title. He receives a calling. His father speaks to his son and says, son, lead the people with a heart that follows God. See, David understood something that we can often forget. See, sometimes when we think about legacy and we think about what it means to leave a legacy, we think about possessions. We think about achievements. We think about being known. But the greatest thing that you can pass down is not your accomplishments. It's your character, your heart, your obedience, your repentance, your worship, your example. The greatest legacy you can leave is not found in what you did and what you left behind in terms of stuff. It's the character, your example. Solomon was going to inherit a kingdom. He was going to inherit an empire. But David knew that none of that mattered if Solomon didn't inherit a heart that chased after God. Because the truest legacy that we have isn't found in what we build, but in who we become before God. And if our story ended here, with David's final words to Solomon, we might imagine a clean, beautiful handoff. A father who, through lots of experience, good and bad, amazing and terrible, has discovered how to have a heart after God's own heart. And he passes that off to his son, who then leads the people with a heart after God's own heart. A godly king passing the kingdom off to a godly son. A kingdom set up for peace, unity, and blessing for God to work through. But this isn't a fairy tale. This is real life. And David does leave his son a kingdom. But he also leaves a terribly fractured family. His sons rebelled. One of his sons actually usurps the throne from David for a period. His family fractured. Violence and rivalry marked his family's story all through it. His son Solomon himself will begin wise, strong, humble, and devoted. But his story doesn't end there. His story ends in compromise, idolatry, and the unraveling of his own heart. Within a generation, the kingdom of Israel is split into two. 12 tribes become 10 and two. The throne of David that started with such promise becomes surrounded in political turmoil, spiritual drift, and generational brokenness. This is all part of David's legacy too. See, it can be tempting when we think about the great heroes of our faith, the people in the Bible who we look back on. It can be so tempting to whitewash their stories and to just focus on the victories and focus on what made them amazing and focus on what made them wonderful. But it's important for us to say this out loud. David's legacy is complicated. It's mixed. It's human. Because even the best of us will leave behind imperfect stories. Even the godliest of parents will have children who choose a different path. Even the most faithful families will have fractures. David's life shows us something that we all need to recognize. God doesn't wait for perfect people to write his story. But he works through messy situations. He works through flawed families. And he works through complicated legacies. It's important to note the tension here. David's sin had consequences. David's choices affected not just himself. It affected generations that came after him. His family suffered because of his failures. But God's promise wasn't undone. God's promise never wavered. Even through the broken branches of David's family tree, God kept threading a promise. Even when David failed, even when his kids failed, even when the kings down the line continued to fail, God kept holding the story together. See, grace didn't erase the consequences, but the consequences didn't erase the grace either. God's grace doesn't erase the consequences for the things we've done. But the consequences of the things we've done don't erase God's grace either. This is where David's story speaks directly to us. Each one of us will leave behind a legacy that is both beautiful and broken. There will be things that we will be proud of, and there'll be things that we wish we could take back. There will be victories worth celebrating and wounds that still need healing. But the hope of David's life is this: God can redeem even the parts of your legacy that you wish were different. God can work through the very places that you failed. And God can build something eternal out of a life that's still being restored. See, your legacy is not the sum of your mistakes. It's the story of God's grace woven through it all. And that leads us to the most stunning part of David's legacy. The part that Scripture highlights again and again and again. The part God himself refuses to let go of. Because even after all the chaos, after all the mistakes, after all the consequences, after all the family dysfunction, after all the sin that we would expect to define him, God still calls David something breathtaking. Here's what God says. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, we'll read this. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him. Now, I want to stop there for a moment, because what a powerful image that is. This is God's testimony about David. This is how God thinks of David. When God thinks about David, this is what he will testify to his life and who he is as a man, who he is as a person, what his legacy is. This is God's testimony about him. And my friends, when we read this, know that this isn't just God's testimony about him. This is God's testimony about all of us. But in light of everything we've talked about with David, what is God's testimony about David? God says this: I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. As God speaks about David, God's testimony isn't, I found a man who never sinned. I found a man who always got it right. I found a man who led his perfect family perfectly. I found a man whose kingdom never wavered. No, God says, I found a man after my own heart. So why is that? Why is David a man after God's own heart? What is it that we can look to David and see what it means to be a person after God's own heart? What does that mean? It means that David didn't live perfectly. He wasn't a man after God's own heart because he lived perfectly, but because he kept returning. When he was chosen, he returned in humility. When he was afraid, he returned in trust. When he was pursued, he returned in worship. When he was confronted, he returned in repentance. And when he was broken, he returned in surrender. David's story shows us that when we keep returning to God, he can redeem what we broke. He can restore what we lost. He can rewrite what we feared was ruined. And he can carry our legacy further than we could ever imagine. See, 1,000 years after David breathed his last breath, another king would be born into his line, but not in a palace, not to applause, not surrounded by royal guards, but in a stable in Bethlehem, the same place where the story of David began 8 weeks ago. And in the book of Matthew, when he tells the story of Jesus' life, he begins with a genealogy. If you're a Bible reader, you know genealogies as the list of names that you skip over. This person begat this person, begat that person, begat that. And it's all names, and they're hard to read, they're hard to pronounce. And so we go, oh, perfect, Bible reading was easy tonight. Check the check mark, and we'll move on to chapter 2 tomorrow. But in Matthew's genealogy, in Matthew chapter 1, this list contains a sentence that is so important for us to see as part of this series and as part of our sermon today, because it brings David's legacy into sharp, crystal clear focus. As David is listing off the generations that led to Jesus, and in Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, he comes to David. Here's what he says about David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Now, if you were with us last week, you know what that's about. It's about adultery, murder, lying, deceit, cover-up. It is about David's extraordinary failure as a king, as a person, as a human being, as a follower of this. This is a note to the worst moment in David's life. And God, he doesn't hide the scandal. He doesn't whitewash over it. When God comes to this moment in the story, he doesn't say, let's pretend like that didn't happen. We won't speak of it. We won't acknowledge it. We'll just move on from there. And if you know, you know. And if you don't, that's fine. But he includes it in the lineage of the Messiah, in the birth story of Jesus, in the very family line through which salvation comes. We are reminded of David's complicated legacy. Why? Because grace isn't embarrassed by our failures. Grace redeems them. See, God's grace in your life is not that he makes all the wrong things that we've done disappear like they never happened. We don't just pretend like nothing ever happened. We'll never speak of it again. That will just be what happened in the past. Grace isn't embarrassed by our failures. Grace redeems them. And our failures become part of our testimony, not of our failures, but of God's grace in our lives. This is the miracle of David's legacy. Think about it for a moment. This is David's darkest chapter. This is Bathsheba's deepest wound. This is Uriah's murder. Solomon's complicated birth story, the fractures in the kingdom and the flaws of the kings who came after. And yet God weaves it all through this thread of unbreakable grace. Because the legacy that God protects isn't human perfection. It's the legacy of his grace. what God wants you to know and what God wants me to know about all of the people who have come before us in our faith, all of the heroes that we read in the Bible and we read their lives and we are awestruck by their faith and their willingness to follow God and all the amazing things they did. What God doesn't want us to take away from that is, look how perfect they are. We could never be like that. What God wants you to see in their lives and what God wants you to see in your life is the legacy of his grace. That we look at their lives and we go, wow, God still used them. He must be able to use me. When you take a step back and look at David's story from beginning to end, something becomes beautifully clear. It didn't start with greatness. And it didn't end with failure. It started with grace. When God chose a shepherd boy that nobody else saw, nobody else appreciated, nobody else thought was capable. And it ended with grace. When God brought a savior through a family line that should have collapsed 1,000 times over. This is the legacy that David leaves behind. Not a flawless kingdom. Not a spotless record. Not a perfect family led perfectly. But a heart that kept saying, God, I'm yours. Even when I fail. Especially when I fail. And friends, this is the invitation this entire series has been leading us towards. You don't build a godly legacy by never messing up. You build a godly legacy by returning quickly, repenting honestly, worshiping deeply, trusting fully, and surrendering consistently. This is the hope that makes all of this more than just a history lesson. That makes all of this more than just reflecting on a story from the Bible. The legacy that David began is fulfilled in Jesus. A greater king, a better shepherd, a healer of broken stories instead of a creator of broken stories. Instead of a creator of failed hearts, a redeemer of failed hearts. And a savior whose throne will never end. And so as we enter the Christmas season, as we enter Advent, we remember the King, the one that David pointed towards, has come. And he's still redeeming legacies today. He can redeem yours, your families, your stories, your futures, even the parts that you might feel are too broken for repair. And so as we close this series and open our hearts to the season of Christmas and Advent, may this be our prayer. Lord, give me a heart like yours, a heart that returns, a heart that trusts, a heart that worships, a heart that obeys, a heart shaped by grace, and a heart that leaves behind a legacy that points to you. And so we have three takeaways for our time together today. First, legacy is shaped by faithfulness, not by perfection. David didn't emphasize achievements, victories, or palaces in his final words. He emphasized obedience. What outlives us is not what we've accomplished, but the character we cultivate and the faith we pass on. What you leave behind is shaped by your faithfulness, not your accomplishments. Second, your story might be uncertain, but God's grace is unwavering. David's legacy includes failure, conflict, rebellion, and heartbreak. Yet through all of it, God's covenant remained unbroken. God works through broken stories. He works through fractured families, and he works through complicated legacies. Grace doesn't erase the consequences of our sin, but the consequences of our sin will never erase his grace. And lastly, God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for a heart that returns. What God celebrated about David was not his sinlessness. It was his pattern of returning in humility, trust, worship, repentance, and surrender. A heart after God's heart isn't perfect, but it's a heart that keeps returning. A godly legacy is built by a heart that comes back to God again and again and again and again and again. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you know and you understand just how complicated each one of us are. God, I thank you that you look at the complicated parts of our lives, the good parts, the bad parts, the righteous parts, the sinful parts, the parts that we wish were different, the parts we're glad they are what they are. And God, I thank you that when you look at the beautiful, complicated mess that is each one of us, God, I thank you that your love extends over all of it. That just like for David, how you saw all that went on in his life and in his family, and yet, God, you loved him and you called him a man after your own heart. God, I thank you that for each one of us here today, God, we know and we recognize we will leave a complicated legacy full of victories and defeats. And yet, God, we recognize that your grace and your love and your mercy is so great to cover over all of it. And so God, I pray today for those of us who are living uncertain stories, for those of us who maybe our families are uncertain, maybe our kids are uncertain, maybe our friends are uncertain, maybe our parents are uncertain, maybe our neighbors, maybe our stories are uncertain. God, I thank you that in the face of the uncertainty of this life, God, that your grace is unwavering. And so, God, I pray that you would seal in our hearts, even as we sang this morning, that even when I don't see it, you're working. God, would you build in us a trust that when says when things are uncertain, when things are complicated, when things are not the way that they're supposed to be, it's not because you've given up on us and it's not because you've stopped working. But God, that we would be able to trust and count on that even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't see it, you're the promise keeper. Even when we don't see it, you're the way maker. You're the light in our darkness. God, I thank you that you are at work in our lives, redeeming us. God, may we be a people who returns in everything we do and in all the places we fall short and all the places we fall down. God, may we return again and again and again and have a heart like David, who had a heart like yours. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go,